For many in Britain, World War II has not faded into history. In the weeks leading up to a soccer match between the two national teams, British tabloids are full of references to Kraut, Fritz, and of course, the war. But the references don't end there. Nazi history is one of the most popular subjects at British high schools. British television is packed with nightly documentaries about the Second World War, and now, as NPR's Guy Raz reports, the German ambassador to London says the British obsession with Germans and Nazis has gone on for too long.
The 1970s British sitcom Fawlty Towers revolves around a neurotic English couple running a small hotel. In a classic episode, the hotel's proprietor, Basil Fawlty, played by actor John Cleese, prepares his staff for the arrival of a group of German tourists.
Listen, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it all right.
But Basil Fawlty finds it impossible to heed his own advice. Soon he offers to take lunch orders from the group of German visitors.
Sorry, what was it again?
A prawn cocktail.
Oh, yes, we have a prawn, yes. First, and Goebbels, too. He's another one I can hardly remember at all.
And I'm pickled hag.
Hermann Göring, yes, yes. And von Ribbentrops, that was another one.
And four cold meat salads, please.
Certainly. Well, I'll just get your hors d'oeuvres. Hors d'oeuvres, which must be obeyed at all times without question.
Basil Fawlty offers an archetypal, if somewhat hyperbolic, view an Englishman might have of a German, even today, on the streets of London.
Rigid, straight-laced, obey the rules. They're the Germans, aren't they?
I know when we do go away on holiday, they do tend to hog the sunbeds a bit. I have noticed that personally.
When you're in Europe and you go to various beaches, the Germans are always there. You know, there's an aggression that they can't help.
Those feelings are classic reflections of Britain's popular tabloid press. Each summer, as sun worshippers from both sides of the English Channel descend upon Spain's Costa del Sol, the tabloids often lead with stories about German tourists waking up at 5 in the morning to nab all the beach chairs. The last time England played Germany in a soccer match, the Sun's sports page blared, "Fritz, the war is about to come to an end." But why do these stereotypes persist?
It's the media, it's the school curricula, and it's the lack of people-to-people contact.
That's Thomas Matusik. He's just been appointed Germany's ambassador to the United Kingdom. He points out a few staggering facts. While more than 40% of Germans have visited the United Kingdom, less than 1% of Britons have dared to venture into Germany. 80% of British high school students who major in history choose to study Nazi Germany. Matusik fears that there's an unhealthy imbalance in the way Germany is understood here.
And now I see more and more that the typical clichés and stereotypes which always existed, that they have no hold in reality anymore. They are being taken for reality. And that, I think, is a development which is not a good one.
Matusik brushed it off at first, until last month, when several German students playing soccer in South London were called Nazis and beaten up.
We have the headmaster of the German school here who counseled his pupils to speak English to each other once to leave the premises in order not to be recognized as German. We have foster parents of exchange students who tell their students, just pretend you're a Scandinavian.
In the past 2 months, there have been a number of high-profile incidents of anti-German bias. Two British-based German employees of Motorola quit the company after enduring months of watching their colleagues goose-step past their desks and make references to gas chambers. Another German man was asked, jokingly, by his British boss, whether Lufthansa uses human skin for their first-class seats. In both cases, the employees received financial settlements from the companies. Earlier in the year, a campaign here against replacing the pound with the euro included a comedian dressed up as Hitler shouting, "Ein Volk, ein Reich, ein Euro."
I think the word obsession is useful. Some people might describe it as a sort of fetish.
Michael Burley is one of the leading historians of Nazi history. Like the ambassador here, he's convinced that English students aren't taught enough about post-war Germany. But he admits the German economic miracle after 1945 simply isn't sexy.
Ask a television producer whether they think they'd get larger ratings for an hour about Hitler or an hour about Konrad Adenauer, and I know what they'd say.
Indeed, a recent version of the satirical magazine Private Eye parodied a typical television listing that could be found in the newspapers here. 6 p.m. Nazis, 7 p.m. old Nazis, 8 p.m. young Nazis, 9 p.m. young Nazis talking about old Nazis, and so on. So, How do Londoners explain it?
I don't know, really. It's just inbuilt. You know, we don't like the French either.
Guy Raz, NPR News, London.
Don't let's be beastly to the Germans when our victory is ultimately won. It was just those nasty Nazis who persuaded them to fight, and their Beethoven and Bach are really far worse than their bite. Let's be meek to them and turn the other cheek to them and try to bring out their latent sense of fun. Let's give them full air parity and treat the rats with charity, but don't let's be beastly to the Hun. We must be kind, and with an open mind, we must endeavor to find a way to let the Germans know that when the war is over, they are not the ones who have to pay. We must be sweet.